club football, he pisses all over him. So
yeah. It's just Messi. We all know what Messi can do.
A lot of flair, a lot of skill.
People might forget the names, but the streets certainly won't.
Hello, and welcome back to another FT LOL podcast episode, and welcome back to another feature session. I'm buzzing for this one, as we have a very special guest for you. A former England international, a man with over 200 Premier League appearances, and my dad, a Gillingham fan, will be very happy, as we have Mr. Matt Jarvis joining us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, he doesn't often listen, so... I'm gonna have to make sure he listens to this one, because I was speaking to him before and he said that in terms of the last sort of 15-20 years, there's not been a better player played for Gillingham. So
well, tell him thank you very much.
Will do. But how are you doing? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, very well.
So, obviously, we're coming out of lockdown now, but was you in the whole sort of homeschooling stage at one point?
No, to a degree. No, my son at that point was around 3. So it was, we still had to do the sort of homeschooling bit. It wasn't anywhere near as bad as everyone else with a lot of older kids that are having to. So I managed my work to be a primary school teacher. So it was like, you do that and I'll have... The other one who was a newborn, who was like literally weeks old, I was like, that one doesn't need anything else. I'll take care of her, and you can do the homeschooling.
Yeah, I'm sure you could get on and do PE. teacher, that's for sure.
That's certainly what I do now. Anyway, when he comes home from school.
Nice. Yeah, so I mean, taking it right back to when you were growing up. Was football always the thing for you? Because I've seen that you've got a bit of sporting pedigree in your family, and not necessarily in football.
No. Yes, both my parents were England number one table tennis players, which is crazy, really. Amazing. But me, I've got an older brother. We never really sort of got into table tennis. Although we could play, we never really got into it. But during the school years, I did everything. I did football, swimming, athletics, cross country. And it was every night of the week. It wasn't just like once. It was Monday, Tuesday, I used to do 2 football and swimming. Wednesday, athletics. Thursday, swimming and football. Friday, swimming. Saturday, football, swimming, athletics. You know, depending on what, if it was the summer, it was ridiculous. The same on the Sunday. But It was my life. I loved it. I loved everything about it. So it wasn't just football, but it was all sort of sports, that competing, the training, everything about it. But when it come to it, you have to sort of start picking one thing. It was always going to be football.
Yeah, I think you made the right choice there. Yeah, so when you were growing up, did you have a team?
Being from Surrey at the time, I was a Man United fan, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Like many other Surrey-based Man United fans, I was a young Saint, so I could go and watch them down at Southampton. So I was at the game where they lost 6-3, and changed kits at half-time.
Oh, great kit, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. But yeah, growing up, I was a Man United fan. Ryan Giggs was sort of my idol. That was, sort of looking at my game, looking at him. That's where I sort of watched all of the, back then it was the VHS, so I used to watch all the videos of him, and sort of try and take as much as I possibly could. Unfortunately for me, I was able to play against him many times, so it was quite cool.
Yeah, and I suppose at that point in his career, it was kind of coming more central to the pitch, so more closer to your side on the left, because he would have been in his prime right on the other side of the pitch, wouldn't he? So,
it was just cool to grace the field with him, really, and play against him on numerous occasions. So it was pretty cool.
Yeah, that must be very nice to to play against your hero. Did you ever beat? You did beat Man United, I think, when you was at Wolves.
Yeah. I'd always had some good games against them. Played well. Got man of the match at Old Trafford and had to go up into the lounges and meet some of their greats and that, which was quite cool. Nice big bottle of champagne.
Nice. And you recently retired, but you was playing at Woking, weren't you? Not that long ago.
Yeah, it was last season. It was just perfect for me. It's a great club, great fans, and it was local for me as well. I'd done so much travelling. And it just, it just at the point of my sort of life, career and everything, family, I just had my daughter. I've got an older, I've got a 5-year-old and, well, he was 3 at the time, but just moved house, just renovated a house. So I just wanted to stay where I was and it was just perfect time and it was a great club. And I just wanted to continue playing football. So it was a really good experience.
Yeah, because you do see players coming from the Prem down to non-league, but normally it's ones where they've played a few appearances here and there, but you've done over 200, so you must have been a very big name at that level. I don't know, did were people sort of asking for your shirt and
no, obviously there was a real nice respect between players, but yeah, a lot of the time, for instance, even when I was at Woking, the young lads that would come on loan, they were like just turning 19, 18, 19, they didn't obviously have a clue who I was. So it was like having to sort of, prove yourself all over again to everyone. So, I did play for England. I played in the Premier League for 8-9 seasons. But it was just great. Like I said, I'd gone through a sort of a bad few years with injury. I'd sort of promised myself I'd get myself fit and get myself back playing and just go and enjoy it, and that's what I did.
Yeah, that was at Norwich, wasn't it, where it was a bit injury prone there. And you're into, you've seen you a bit more in the media now, is that something you're looking to pursue a career down
the road? Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's very difficult to get in there. There's so many people that want to be, come out of football and do punditry and do all that. But I've done a lot of training. I've done quite a bit of work, and I'd love to. If I can't play, there's nothing better than then just still being involved in it and talking about it. So yeah, I'd love to do that. But there's other things that that hopefully I'll be able to do as well. But yeah, keeping involved in football would always be high on my list.
Yeah, don't fancy management though.
No, I don't think so. Coaching, I've got my badges, but management's a whole different ball game. I'm not sure. At this moment in time, I would say no.
Yeah, I think it's a lot harder than people probably get the credit for. I think it's just, when something goes wrong, it's your fault. When something goes right, it's the players.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the biggest thing for me. I think it's 24/7, 7 days a week. You live and breathe it every single minute of every single day. It's so full on. If you've got a family, if you're having to move to whatever club it is, it's just taking your whole life away for that period of time. You've got to be so into it. And I love it, and I watch football all the time, but I think it's a different level.
Yeah. All right. So, if we get into your 11, what formation have you gone with?
It's very difficult. I'm going to go with four. A very interesting, not really sure where everyone's going to play midfield, and then I'm sort of torn between going with a one behind the one striker. I think that's, so I'll come to that at the end, but should we start at the back? It makes life a lot easier.
Yeah. So in goal, who have you got between the sticks?
Again, really difficult because I've played with some top goalkeepers all the way through, but I think just for purely his work ethic in training, he's a fantastic goalkeeper, and he's also played at the top level for a ridiculous amount of years, and it's it's Jussi Jäskeläinen. When I was at West Ham, he's such a good guy. But you know, as a goalkeeper, he could do everything. He played at the highest level for such a long time, and that's down to his work ethic in training. Used to go in a gym and continue it after training all the time, and he was a great goalkeeper. So Jussi Jäskeläinen.
Yeah, I know you played with him at West Ham, but I loved him at Bolton as well. Just a bit of a cult hero, really.
Yeah, definitely.
I think he's got to go down as one of the best sort of Premier League goalies who's not actually won the Premier League. He's got to be in the top sort of two or three of those. And
how
was he like off the pitch?
He's brilliant, great guy, really good guy. To be honest, every single player that I'll be putting in my thing were great guys as well off the pitch. Well, yeah, I would say, all of them, pretty much all of them.
he seemed a bit crazy to me, but I don't know if that's
all goalkeepers are like crazy. Yeah, they certainly are. But yeah, and he was, but real good guy. Really, he would help you out of anything you needed. Just good laugh around the place. Obviously, he had a great work ethic, which is something that I did have, which I liked from other people. So we used to be in the gym together.
Yeah, and I'm sure if Big Sam was picking a team like this, he'd have him. He liked re-signing players, didn't he? And
he did, yeah.
All right, so
shall I move on? Shall I start on the right? I'll go right back.
Right back, the guy you would have played against in training, I guess.
Yeah, but just he's one of them, I would say, underrated players. Would be a minimum of 7, probably 8 every single week, just under the radar every week. So comfortable on the ball, really good defender, fantastic guy, and that was Kevin Foley at Wolves.
Okay.
Such a good player.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, so consistent, Mr. Consistent, that's what he was. Kevin Foley.
Yeah, we had Greg Halford on a couple of months ago, and he didn't put Foley in his team, but he was trying to... Because he had
fit him in some
right back, but he was trying to fit him in at left back.
Yeah.
And he decided to go for a conventional one. But yeah, he spoke very highly of Foley as well. And that Wolves team, I really like that Wolves team. And I'm part Irish as well. So they had quite a lot of Irish players.
Yeah.
Him,
Doyle. Yeah, fabulous team.
A couple of the Hunt brothers, didn't they? And
yeah.
That was a real nice team, that one.
It was great times. Yeah, it was such a good group of lads and all sort of pushing in the same direction to get promoted and then getting promoted and having 3 fantastic years in the Prem. It was pretty cool. I'm going to do both of these at the same time because they're both from the same club, 2 centre halves, and I couldn't think of anyone better that if you were in the trenches with anyone, this guy would do absolutely anything for you, and that is James Collins. We call him Ginge.
Yeah.
For West Ham, there's no one better that I would want in the trench with me if it was anything like that. James Collins and Winston Reid, they're my 2 centre-halves. Both of them were just ridiculous. Winston Reid is strong, so strong. I remember the first time I sort of in training, and I thought, I'll just blow past him here and knock it and go, and then he just put his arm out. And he just stopped me and then was very good on the ball. Worked on his left foot all the time after training. Them two were just a joke. So they could fight with the best of them and they pop up with a few goals as well. So them two, my 2 centre-halves.
Yes, it's a shame about the injuries with Winston Reid because he's not that old, is he? He
was in his
book somewhere.
Yeah. At West Ham, then... When I signed for the next 5 years, he was the best centre-half. He was getting linked to all sorts of clubs and he was in ridiculous form. Absolute beast of a guy as well. And again, real nice down-to-earth guy. So, yeah.
And then, Collins, do you know where this Ginger Pele...
Cardiff, I think it must have been. Yeah, I think it was at Cardiff. Yeah. But I mean, his missus calls him Ginge, so if she can call him it, anyone can call him it. So that's all. Yeah, whenever you talk about it, you just go, oh, Ginge, and everyone goes, oh yeah, I know Ginge.
Yeah.
So just,
I think he's one of the most recognisable or most famous Ginger footballers.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. When you see the picture of him when he was first started at Cardiff, he's incredible. Like his hair, just in full head of hair, like so bright. And then when he went to West Ham and Villa, he shaved it, and then he had the big beard. What a guy! I can't praise him enough as a person off the pitch, and on it. He's just a great guy.
Yeah. I didn't play up front. I played mostly right back, but if I was a striker, I wouldn't want to be messing with those two.
No. So left back, this guy, I didn't play with him for very long, and I'm going with him because we just had like an instant, like I suppose, connection as a left midfielder or left winger as a left back. We just instantly hit it off. And we knew where each other were, and we just had a real good combination. And that's Robbie Brady. When I went to Norwich, he came and he played left back, and we just instantly hit it off.
He's left mid, isn't he, a lot of times?
Yeah, he plays at Burnley, left mid or right mid now. But he was at Norwich and he was left back, and we just struck up such a good partnership. I only played, not that many games with him, to be fair, but I'm putting him in because he had everything, that aggression, pace. It's hard to beat as a fullback. He was almost like nuts. He had so much energy. And an absolute fruitcake as well. Great guy. But just a great, had bundles of energy. He must have just gone home and just fallen asleep because he had so much energy in and around the training ground, in and around the games. Could run all day. Great left foot, and as I said, we just had real good understanding and link up as a left back and a winger. So I went with Robbie.
Yeah, could it be because he played further forward that he just kind of knew maybe the runs you were going to make or
positions
that you were going to take up?
I think so. Yeah, he just had the understanding as a fullback. For me as a wide player, you just want your fullback to give you the ball. As quickly and as often as you possibly could. And like, don't get me wrong, he used to give me the ball, but then he used to make like underlaps or overlaps. But he'd always used to be in a position that he would let me, whether I wanted to take the fullback on or then if I was going to turn out, he'd always be on to either lay it back for a cross or him to go on a run. It just sort of worked. So, that's why I went with him.
Yeah, was Daniel Farke there at that point, or was that before?
No, that was before. That was Alex Neil.
All right. So, because obviously, like nowadays, Norwich are very attacking as well in their fullback.
Yeah,
I guess it's just different things. Their
wide players are more sort of inside, and they all come inside. Everyone comes into the pitch rather than go on the outside, which is, I suppose, the way I used to play.
Yeah, love a bit of Robert Brady. He got a couple of big goals at Euro 2016
as
well.
Top guy. But then this is where it all goes sort of, I don't know, a makeshift midfield. I think we could get like done. We're very attacking. But a lot of these players that I'm going to put in, some of them I played with them in their prime. Some of them were sort of either at the start or some of them were more towards the end. But I'll go straight in and just, I don't know, again, I don't know where they're all going to play. But this is the players. I've got Joe Cole. Absolutely fantastic player. What he's done in his career is incredible. Was like a big kid. Like, loved the five-a-side in training. Absolutely loved it. Just loved scoring goals. Incredible career, absolutely incredible career. Could play anywhere, really. And just really, really enjoyable to sort of see him in training and see him playing and just enjoying football. So, Joe Cole. Then I've got James Maddison. He came to Norwich from Coventry as a young kid. And I've never seen someone that can come in and just we had quite an older dressing room, really, at the time. And he used to come in. He came in as a young kid, really skinny, like small, skinny kid, come in and just had so much confidence, come and sat with all the older pros, joined in all the banter. And, you know, like the first sort of session, you sort of just test them all out. Because he came in for a couple of days just while he signed and then went back to Coventry. And first training session, you have a touch and you just fire the ball into him just to sort of test him out. And you're
one of them, yeah.
And he just, boom, instant control. And the next one you fired into him, touch, and he'd already turned and he'd gone. And you're like, okay, wow, this guy's, you know, he's good. And then he come back after the following year and went on loan to Aberdeen. And then he just come back and you can see he was practicing. He was he'd grown up in himself. He'd grown into his body a little bit and he was a fantastic player. And you can see now he's just gone from strength to strength to strength and he can be whatever he wants to be, really. He's just got that natural ability and he's class.
Yeah. I'm an Arsenal fan and we were linked with him quite a lot last summer. And I mean, look, we got Odegaard, so I'm still happy, but I would have loved James Maddison. I think he's a class player. And as you said earlier, confidence, that's something that he just is clear to see. So I'm an Arsenal fan and we were linked with Maddison quite a lot in the summer. And even though we got Odegaard, so I'm happy about that anyway, but I would have loved Maddison, I think, to come to the Emirates. Just the way he plays and what you said earlier about confidence, you can clearly tell that he's a very confident player. And interesting to see what you said about him working on his stuff as well.
Yeah, he worked at it tirelessly. And I everyone says confidence, you know, some of them, you know, say arrogant and things like that, but confidence, part of confidence is being arrogant. He knows he's good, but he's worked at it and he's practiced. You see all the free kicks and that he takes now and he's scoring all these goals. It's not a fluke, you know, it's because he's practiced. He's practiced on the training ground week in, week out. And he knows that he can do that. And then if he's confident in himself, everyone says Ronaldo's arrogant. Well, it's because he knows he's the best player in the world. You know, I'm not saying Madders is the best player in the world, but Madders has got that confidence that he knows that he's worked at it, so he can go out and prove it. And he can, like I said, he can be anything that he wants to be if he puts his mind to it. So he's in my team, that's for sure. Then I've got someone that I played with who I think that when I played with him, he was at his peak. It was just incredible to watch. And what he did that season at West Ham was nothing short of incredible. And that was Dimitri Payet.
Thought he'd be in your team, yeah.
I mean, obviously, as a West Ham fans, won't, you know, the way it ended, it puts a real sour note on it. But what he did that season was just incredible. His natural ability was crazy. You know, he's the way he could strike a ball, taking free kicks, any dead ball situation, but then in the game, you know, he could just glide past people. He was so just, his ability was so good. Trying to think what the best way to say, he wasn't like everyone else off the pitch. He kept himself, he's not quiet, but sort of kept himself to himself a little bit more. He wasn't like as much in with the lads as everyone else, I'd say, in this team. But what he did do was he was fantastic on the pitch. And as I said, a natural ability, because he wasn't one of them that used to go in the gym afterwards and do weights and get in shape. He was just pure, natural, incredible ability.
So when he signed for West Ham, did you guys know how good he was going to be? Because I think in the continent he had a reputation, but I don't think many people in England really knew about him.
No, definitely not. Don't get me wrong, you know, if you sign someone like that, you're not expecting him to come in and just be like, oh yeah, he's all right. But I don't think we expected him to be as good. And the thing is, he just hit the ground running. It was one of them that he didn't necessarily need time to bed in and work on the shape and do that. He just hit the ground running. And as soon as you do that at any club, it just, It's just that little bit easier. And as I said, natural ability. He was very, very good.
You must have hated him though, because he often played out on the left.
Yeah, I mean, it meant I didn't play as much, that's for sure. But no, yeah, it's one of them things, unfortunately.
it's a big question. We've not got to your strikes and stuff like that yet, but is he the best player that you've ever played with?
Again, difficult, just because of, I would say I played with in his prime. Yeah. So I would say that for that, you'd say that he's one of the, one of the best.
Joe Cole was
sensational.
35, yeah.
Yeah, exactly that. And Madders was younger when I played with him. Yeah. So it's like, but there's another guy that I'm going to put in that I played with through, and he probably could have been one of the top players, but never, I don't know, he maybe had his chance to go and didn't quite, wasn't let go, or there was, you know, whatever. But this player used to just get better and better with age. And I'll tell you a story about him. When I first went to Norwich, Wes Houlihan.
Oh, the Irish
magician. Absolute magician. He was so good. So good. I remember one of my sort of first training sessions there. Like, Wes has got the ball in the middle of the park, and I was on his team, and I made this run in behind, and I'm screaming at him, like, "Where's Buzz?" And like, his head was down, he had about four players around him, and he didn't look up at all, didn't even acknowledge that I'm screaming. So I stopped my run, and the ball went exactly where I should have been. And he looked at me like, "Why did you stop? Like, what are you doing?" And I was like, "Wait, you didn't even look. Like, you didn't even look at me, didn't even acknowledge." And he was like, I don't need to. Just beat it." And then ever since then, I didn't make a run, because I knew he had that ridiculous ability to find a pass. The ball used to just be stuck to his foot, and it was just incredible to play with. great ability, and he just got better with age.
Yeah. What was he like in training?
Phenomenal some days. You literally just could not get the ball off him sometimes. He could be the best player on the park 4 days a week, easy. It was like it was easy for him. Like, if you had them small games, you'd always want him. He was just ridiculous. Yeah, fantastic player. Again, you'd play him probably just in behind a striker, I think. Just trying to think who my other person I was going to put in. I had the other one in midfield. I completely forgot who I was going to put in, which is not good. I'll go to my striker, and then I'll come back to it.
Yeah, just on Houlihan, there was a clip going round a couple of weeks ago of him. Yeah, he just had the ball in his own penalty box, and he was just taking it past everyone.
That was recently. That was at Cambridge.
Yeah, I was at Cambridge.
Oh. Yeah. That's this season. It's probably a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I saw it. That's Wiz. Yeah, he would do that every day of the week, and he's so comfortable on the ball, and he knows he just jinks past you. And you can see him. That he's still got great sharpness about him. You know, he was never quick, as in like if you had a full sprint with him, but sharpness. He was very good, change of direction, low centre of gravity, and he was in great shape. As I said, what I mean about like getting better with age, his body just morphed into ridiculous physique as he got older.
Yeah, we did a pod a couple of months ago, and yeah, it was top 10 championship players like of all time, and he was. Yeah, he was very high on that. I think he was like fifth or sixth, something like that. Because he got a couple of promotions, didn't he, with Norwich and Blackpool as well. He's just a legend at both those clubs.
Yeah, he's very, very good. That's why he's called the Irish Messi. He was brilliant. He really was. And then I'll go for my centre forward, because I think I'm only going to go for one up front. And this guy I played with at Wolves, he and I just had, as I say about Robbie and me at left back, we just had such a good understanding and partnership, as far as when I was going to the byline to cross, he would know where my cross was going to go. If I was cutting inside and crossing, he knew where the ball was going and knew what run to make. And he was a great goal scorer, really good in the air, and still banging in the goals now. But it was Stephen Fletcher.
Okay, yeah.
Really, really good goal scorer. Great in the air. He used to do that when everyone else, you'd take a goal kick and he used to just pull out wide and then just suddenly at the last minute just run across and just flick everything on. He was great timing, but great left foot. Maybe right foot maybe needed some work. It was more for standing, but left foot was a joke. Great touch. We just had that understanding of where to be and how to move off each other, and if I was crossing, like I said, he just knew where to be and what run to make. And I remember it was the end of season awards and he won like the Golden Boot and they showed all his goals and I was just there looking going, oh yeah, that was my cross, and yeah, that was my cross again. He'd be looking over, I'd be like, yeah. It was just such a really good understanding between the both of us, so that's why I'll put him up there. I mean, Andy, big Andy Carroll, I would have him in my starting 11 every week. We just never played enough together. It's such a shame because he had everything. You can see he had everything. He's a battering ram. He would just want you to hang the ball up just enough so the keeper wouldn't come. But even if the keeper came, he would just probably take the keeper out as well. He was so good on the ball, bringing the ball down. Underrated with his feet, but I've never seen someone that can head the ball like him. Never. And what a fantastic guy he is as well. But unfortunately, I just think I'll put Fletch just in, just because of the amount of time we spent together and played.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a bad person to have whipping balls into, and you've got a few of those in your team, haven't you? Good crosses. You yourself, obviously. I was listening to a pod that you was on the other. It's a while ago now, but I think you're saying you've got the most crosses in Europe.
2 years in a row.
Two years in a row.
Yeah. Not so just that, most crosses, it was most crosses and most successful. So I wasn't just throwing them in willy-nilly. But it was, And when he first came to West Ham, I'd put the most crosses in Europe and successful, and he'd won the most headers from crosses. It was just like the perfect combination. We just didn't quite get to play as much as we'd love to have together.
Yeah, the perfect Big Sam combination as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was the whole idea. And while we've been talking about that, I've just remembered who my last player is. And what a wonderful player he is. This is what I mean. We're going to be so attacking. We're going to get pumped, like, defensively. But the back four is going to have to do a lot of defending. But this guy I could not leave out. You know what I was saying about, so my like midfield, you've got Joe Cole, that's just a ridiculous player. I used to love, you know, the five-a-sides, and you just couldn't get the ball off him. Wes Houlihan, exactly the same. Madders was that link man. This guy is probably up there with the best, that you've seen, that can just sink past people in training as well. And that is Yossi Benayoun.
What a guy. Was that, in West Ham?
West Ham, yeah.
I didn't realise he was there when you were there.
Yeah. We used to car share, to be fair, as well. So that was great. What a career he's had. He played, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal, Chelsea, West Ham. Yeah, ridiculous. So good on the ball. So good. He would just completely take the mick out of everyone. You know, he'd be chopping this way, chopping that way, croiping, dinking the keeper. The keepers hated him because he would just take the mickey out of them all the time. So good. So good. And, for his size, he was super skinny.
About 8 stone. Really,
yeah, super skinny.
Yeah.
But just was a phenomenal player. We've got a proper attack in midfield. but I couldn't leave him out. It was he was so good, so good. It's he had a fantastic career, but I still think people underestimated how good he was.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, even though he did play for us for one season, I think probably my fondest memory of him is in a West Ham shirt, but he would have been in his first spell.
Yeah.
Where it was the whole lasagna gate with Tottenham, and he scored in that game. And yeah, so when did he play? Were you like 20?
He come back, he came on loan. Yeah.
So that's a good stretch as well in the top flight.
Yeah. You don't get to stay in there that long and not be a good player. And he certainly was.
And a physical league like the Premier League, being that sort of size as well. He was very skillful.
I could have put so many other players in, like you talking about leaders and brilliant midfielders, attacking goal scorers. I could have put Kevin Nolan in. What a guy, what a captain he was for me at West Ham. You talk about captains, you know, Mark Noble could have gone in, probably should have put him in for, you know, a bit of defensive support. But I mean, I could go on. You know, I've played with some fantastic players and all different sort of spells in my career as well. You know, starting out at Gillingham, played with some brilliant guys, you know, Rod Wallace and Tommy Johnson, you know, as strikers when I first went to Gillingham. And two fantastic players. Marlon King, you know, players like this. But Paul Shaw, do you remember him? Paul Shaw?
Yeah, Arsenal. I mean, he played for Arsenal for a bit.
Yeah.
Not very long, but yeah.
Great. These are players that when I was 17, these were in the first team. It was, you know, a great learning curve for me. Mm. And then, you know, Wolves was just brilliant. Jody Craddock was close to getting in my team as well as centre half. One of the best professionals I've ever seen, ever, you know, with his, you know, work rate in training off the field, whether he's playing, whether he's not, whether he's and going in the gym. Great with the lads, you know, would do anything you needed to for the team. Same as like Cole Henry, you know, he did all the ugly side that no one wanted to do and would as a captain was fantastic, absolutely fantastic. I've played with some brilliant captains. I have, really have. So I've been very fortunate. Really difficult to squeeze them all into 1-11.
Yeah, you've clearly gone with your heart here with
it's pure out of touch, haven't we?
Yeah, pure out of touch. Even Robbie Brady is very attacking, isn't he, for a fullback as well. But yeah, you love to see it. This is what it's all about, I think. We had a West Ham fan on actually doing this sort of thing, and I think he played like two defenders. One of them was James Collins,
Ginge.
Actually. Yeah. But yeah, I guess that certainly the West Ham side of it. That's what they like to do, don't they? Attack.
I mean, you know, I think if I was having to take a team to go into actually play someone else, I think I'd maybe have to sacrifice one of the midfielders to put a defensive player in. But if we're not playing any games, these players have to be in my team.
Yeah. And who, you mentioned a lot of captains that didn't get in. Who would be leading the side out in this team?
Four. I think it'd have to be Ginge. I think.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as far as, you know, everyone else is a bit more attacking, flair, a lot of flair players. So I think I'd give it to Ginge and he can start screaming and shouting at everyone from the back.
He's got to be a flair player. He's got Pele in his nickname.
that's true. That's true. But I just, as far as I said before about when I mentioned him and put him in, he would be the first name that would ever be going into, you know, if you're going in the trenches with each other, him, he would be straight in my team. Brilliant for anything like that. You know, you've seen him, he would throw his head in front of anything and just to stop a goal. He just had that desire to defend and stop goals going in and a brilliant guy.
Yeah, every time I've heard people talk about him, yeah, they they've said sort of similar stuff, really. And he's just such a cult hero, isn't he, at West Ham as well.
All of that squad, that whole squad as well, would be great on a night out. All of them.
Yeah. Where would you say you had your best time in your career? Is that a quite difficult one to...
I would say difficult because if you're talking about, like, you know, when I was at Wolves, for instance, that's where I suppose I sort of made my name. I suppose Gillingham was where I started, but I think when everyone sort of speaks about me, that's where I played for England. That's where we got promoted as champions. So that winning season is great, like successful, getting a trophy. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
But the last year at Wolves is where I, you know, put the most cross in, played for England, did all that. Then I signed at West Ham, and that first season, put the most crosses in Europe, same successful crosses. We finished 10th in our first season in the Premier League. I think that's an extremely, you know, amazing achievement.
Do that as a promoted club, side, I mean,
it's incredible. So, as far as, you know, that goes, I had some really good spells at both clubs. My first sort of couple of games at Norwich were so good as well. That was probably because I didn't play as much as I'd like to the season before at West Ham. So my fitness levels and my determination and just wanted to play games, you could see in my first couple of games at Norwich, I was flying. So I was obviously devastated to get injured, and the decision to go into a tackle, probably my first ever actual tackle with Yaya Toure, was a really, really bad mistake. But
yeah, if you could pick a better guy to do a tackle again.
Exactly.
Blimey. And playing in non-league, is that harder? I know it's a lower level, but sort of the facilities and your teammates and stuff like that is...
Yeah, it is harder, yeah, for sure. My teammates were brilliant. We were part-time when I was there. And, you know, some of these lads were working during the day and then coming to training. And they would be 110% effort into training. Their attitude was brilliant. Work ethic, everything about it was great. And I took my hat off to them. It was so good to... It was enjoyable for me to go in and be like, wow... You know, it really means everything to these lads to go in and train, which was a breath of fresh air, really. But it is harder, yeah, of course it is. You know, facilities, for instance, you know, everything about that. But you know, it's improving all the time. You look at the league this year, it's got some very, very good players in. The teams are all improved. They're pretty much all full-time now.
I was going to say, you being part-time is probably... quite rare for that.
I think, well, Woking now are full-time this season, so, you know, that just shows that, you know, everyone's improving, everyone's getting better, and it's such a really difficult league to get out of, but also it's a lot higher standard than everyone expects, I think.
Yeah, well, did they go full-time because they couldn't afford to pay your wages full-time?
that's what the manager said to me. they needed to because that's where you get found out a little bit, because everyone else is like, you're playing on Saturday, that's not a problem because you're ready for the Saturday, but then when it's a quick turnaround for the Tuesday night and you don't get enough time to, if you're working, you've got a full-time job, you don't get time to do the recovery, you don't get time to really prepare to have all of the you know, the details of the other team, how they play, all of these different bits. You don't get to see it until the game. So to be full time is a huge boost and much better for Woking, especially this year.
Mm. And then England wise, what's the England camp like? I mean, for me, you should have got a lot more caps because England had that whole left-sided problem, and I know Joe Cole was there, but as he was on the way down, you was on the way up, and I was trying to think who else would have been.
Well,
I can't think of actually young.
There was Ashley Young, there was Stuart Downing, Theo Walcott, James Milner, Aaron Lennon. You know, all these players that were playing on the wing at the at
a
that
lot of them
time.
Played on the right though. Like
They did.
Actually,
yeah.
Downing played on the right.
I know, here, but he played on the left for England.
Yeah.
So did Milner. There was a lot of Ashley Young as well. So I was gutted that I only got the one for sure. But obviously delighted and privileged to have done it. Especially with all of them, you know, they were all playing in top six clubs, all of them. Mm. Yeah. No disrespect. I was at Wolves. We were fighting for relegation every year. So as achievements goes, it was fantastic. And to be called up by Capello as well with the caliber of manager that he was and what he's done was for me a real personal achievement as well to be. You know, looked at by a manager like that as well.
Yeah, am I right in thinking you were one of the first Wolves England players since Steve Bull or something? Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So it was a long awaited for Wolves fans.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good to see them doing so well now.
Definitely.
I know they had a bit of a dip last season, but I really like the way that they're playing and their manager as well. He looks good. I've not really heard of him before, but he's...
No, I think everyone, to be fair, including myself, were a little bit like, oh, I think this season could be a bit of a, you know, it's a building, you know, it could be a bit of an up and down season, you know, mid-table would be all right, you know. But they've just gone under the radar, got on with their job, and each week they're improving. The manager's, what he's done, I think all the players are buying into it, and it's a happy camp. I think that's the main thing as well.
Yeah. All right, I've got two questions for you. One, best manager you've ever played for, or the manager that would be managing this side.
Do you want to answer this one first? Before we go on to the next one?
Well, they're both... All right, I've got another question after then. I didn't know if it'd be the same sort of thing, but I guess that team there probably wouldn't go so well with, say, a Big Sam or someone like that. But yeah, all right. Who's the best manager that you've ever played under?
Always, whenever asked me, Mick McCarthy. Brilliant manager. What he had as well was the staff that he had around him. What he'd done for me in my career and his staff. Well, I mean, I still speak to him now. Was incredible. You know, he managed me, where he improved me as a player. That's like whether that was out technically working on my crossing or left foot or cutting in or shooting and positioning wise, but also just the way he worked with me personally, one to one. He was the biggest compliment I can give him. He was honest. He'd always give you his honest thing. So if you got called in a Friday morning, you know, Terry Connor, TC would come in and go, Jarvo, you come, and you'd be like, oh no, I'm not playing tomorrow. And you'd go in and see him, and Mick would go, oh, Jarvo, you're on the bench tomorrow. And you'd be like, oh, well, and we'd say, well, look, this is the reason why. And you could, you know, I would, you know, go like, oh, I think this, and he'd go, that's fine, but I'm telling you, this is why you're on the bench, but be ready to come on. And, you know, make an impact if I need you to think. And you'd be like, well, I can't really say anything to that. You know, he's been honest. He wasn't one of them managers that would say, oh, look, you know, you're not going to play this game, but you'll play the next game. And then the team wins 4-0 and we go, well, I can't really change the team and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
He was honest. He would tell you exactly all the time, whether you played well, whether you didn't play well. And as players, that's all you need. So yeah, Mick, best manager I've played with, yeah.
Nice. And would you have him for this team, or would you have?
I don't know who you need, like Gattuso, I think, to try and get this team running back. Yeah. I'd definitely have Mick. Great manager, great guy.
And then the best player you've ever played against.
against that, I mean, that's a ridiculous one. It depends what position, you know. There's, yeah, you could go anywhere. Henry, Drogba, you know, as you're looking at strikers, you know, Aguero, you know, just ridiculous. Midfielders, you know, Scholes, Lampard, Gerrard, who you could pick ridiculous players. Giggs,
how about who gave you the toughest time as a fullback?
Yeah, see, that's an interesting one, because, like, I played against the best fullbacks in the world, to be honest. Ashley Cole, one of the best fullbacks, well, probably the best fullback in Premier League history. Fantastic. Really difficult to play against. But I used to love playing against them. You know, I felt like I'd always be a threat against them, because I had pace. I used to run and be direct and run against them. So, you know, for instance, I used to play against Kyle Walker. He'd always be bombing forward, and it'd be horrible to chase him back, but I'd always run the other way against him. So it was just a great battle. Like Zabaleta, you're talking about fullbacks. Zabaleta was ridiculous. But again, I had joy against him playing the other way. Ivanovic, you know, Chelsea, when I played against him, you know, again, a monster of a guy, and used to be ridiculous going the other way as well as defending, but I did well. Sanya, Ben Johnson, all of these players, I enjoyed playing against all of them, because I gave as good as I got, really. Although you're always playing against these teams that are going to have more possession than you, and they were able to attack more than me, to be honest, as fullbacks. But I used to always give them a go. I wasn't sort of, not scared is the wrong word, but I was always used to give them a go and really make sure that they knew that they were in a game defensively. So, incredible players.
Yeah, and I think with what you've got, pace and a great delivery, those are two things that you don't want to face as a fullback. I mean, it's, you don't really see your type of play as often, really, these days.
No,
a lot of people are going to try and copy Liverpool, but there's not many Mo Salahs.
No, there's not many Mo Salahs. But even them, they're not exactly wingers anymore. They stay out, but all they do is go inside, and they
that's
go straight.
That's what I mean. It's not the same as
the old school. Get some chalk on your boots and stay wide and get crosses in and cut inside and shoot. That was the good old days.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on, Matt. It's been a very interesting 11. It's just definitely the most attacking that we've had on, and yeah, it's they're gonna either lose 5-4 or win 5-4. I think
that's best way to do it. Best way to do it.
Maybe that's why I don't want to go into management now. You get the pundit saying, "Oh, we needed to play some defenders or something like that." But,
hey, don't get me wrong. If I had to play a game, I think I'd probably have to put some defensive player in. But at the moment, no chance. That's my team.
That's how it should be. I think play the game to have fun. But before we let you go, just want to tell the listeners what you're up to. Anything that you want to sort of plug or anything like that.
Fitness, I suppose, has been my whole life. So at the moment, I'm carrying on doing that and enjoying helping other people do the same thing. So, you know, that's something that I've been doing recently. Obviously the punditry stuff, and yeah, if anyone wants to follow me on Instagram, then please do it. It's Matt_official. So get clicking.
Official, there you go. Well, Matt, it's been a pleasure. Thank you again for coming on. And remember, guys, to keep it.